One of the most powerful cultural forces in today's world and in today's church is big gay, the LGBTQ plus conglomerate that basically tries to control what we think about homosexuality. How do Catholics respond to this movement in today's cancel culture? That's what we're going to talk about today on Crisis Point. Hello, I'm Eric Sims, your host and editor-in-chief of Crisis Magazine. Before we get started, just want to encourage people to smash that like button, subscribe to the channel, but don't hit the notify because you have a life outside of YouTube or wherever you might be listening to or watching this. Also, I just want to encourage people to follow us on social media, the various social media channels. We're on Twitter and Facebook and MeWe and Gitter and Gab and some other places as well at Crisis Mag. That way you'll be kept up on the latest on what we're doing over at Crisis Magazine. Okay, so before I get started on today's show, I do want to give a disclaimer. More like a warning. I will be talking about some stuff today that is not really for younger people. So if you have younger children who are listening or watching as well, I would encourage you probably to watch it later by yourself because I'm just going to be talking about some stuff. I'm not going to get real detailed, but stuff that really isn't appropriate for younger ears to hear. Okay, so there's been, Big Gay has been in the news a lot lately, and I'll explain what I mean by Big Gay here in a minute. The most recent news was the horrific story coming out of Atlanta, I believe, of a gay couple supposedly claimed to be married to men, and they were homosexual activists, and they had adopted two boys. And it came out that they were basically sexually abusing them, sodomizing them, engaging in just horrific things, prostituting them out to other gay men. And it was just a horrific story, but it was mostly covered up. This happened a few months ago, but it wasn't until Town Hall, townhall.com, I believe it is. Town Hall basically did an investigative report about it, a four-part investigative report. And honestly, I had to skim the story because it was just too horrific what these men did to these boys to really be able to stomach it completely. But it was horrific, and the media ignored it, and the mainstream media. And I think that's just very typical for these things, because it usually happens that the reality behind the gay lifestyle, particularly the male gay lifestyle, is hidden by big gay. It's hidden by the people who want to present the homosexual lifestyle as completely normal, as completely fine, nothing disordered about it, it's completely healthy. And the truth is that's a complete lie. Now, what do I mean when I say big gay? I mean, we have all these things like big tobacco and big pharma and big whatever. And so it's just a term I came up with that talks about really the forces behind pushing the normalization and the acceptance of the gay lifestyle. I am not, and I repeat this, I am not talking about the individual who's struggling with homosexual tendencies. Well, I'll talk about that in a little bit later, but the point is I'm not talking about that person. I'm not even talking about the practicing homosexual who minds their own business and just wants to be left alone. I'm not even talking about them. I'm talking about the societal and cultural push to completely normalize, like I said, the homosexual lifestyle, but not just normalize it and get tolerance to it, but to make it so we all have to bend our knee to it. We all have to do a pinch of incense to the homosexual lifestyle. And so the people that make up the big gay would be the media, obviously, the mainstream media. Note how over the past 20 years or so, every depiction of a gay person in media tends to be a very positive one. And if you have a depiction, for example, of a Catholic priest, it's always a negative one. And so that would be one aspect of it. The mainstream media, both in the news, but also in Hollywood. Government is obviously a part of this. We see particularly in the Biden administration, but even President Trump, he had no problem with promoting the gay lifestyle at times, but under President Biden, it's just ridiculous how much it's pushed. And of course, all laws are intended to normalize homosexual relations, make it appear that homosexual relations are identical in their value and in normalization with heterosexual relations. Also, big tech and corporations. That's a major part of the normalization of homosexuality as well. I had that experience myself this week. I got suspended again from Twitter, which has happened to me now a few times. I think I'm on a 7-day timeout right now so I can learn my lessons from big tech. And this is Twitter, when supposedly we're supposed to get more free speech under Elon Musk, and it has on some levels. But you don't cross big gay. That's the one thing you don't do. And it was actually a tweet of mine. I'll pull it up here on the screen real quick, where I was retweeting the story about the horrific couple who were abusing their sons. It says, gay men are often predisposed to attraction to young men and even boys. They publicly deny this because it hurts their cause, but it's part of their stunted and disordered sexuality. And I will admit, normally when I tweet something like this, I know ahead of time, oh, this could get me booted. I just wasn't thinking at the time when I posted this. I probably still would have posted it anyway, that it would get me booted. And it did. But it's a reality that the homosexual movement, big gay, does not want you to know about, which is that homosexual men in particular are often attracted to young men. I said young men. So, for example, teenagers, post-pubescent teenagers, but also young boys at times, not all of them. And this isn't to say there aren't heterosexual pedophiles. There absolutely are. But the fact is that the male homosexual movement idealizes youth. And when you talk to people who were former homosexuals, they used to be in the movement and they no longer are, they will tell you this. They will admit this. Somebody like a Joseph Scambra will tell you that this is true. And so they don't want this to be known, again, because they're trying to protect their movement, protect their rights, so to speak, and again, normalize homosexual behavior. And so we have the media, we have the government, we have big tech corporations. I mean, for example, here in Cincinnati, which is a pretty, very standard Midwest town, it's not San Francisco or New York or even Chicago or something like that. But when it comes to be June, every company locally, Kroger, P&G, they are flying that rainbow flag as much as possible. They are supporting all the gay pride events of the month and things like that. So it really is, all of these things are part of big gay. But you know what else is part of big gay, unfortunately? The Catholic Church is part of big gay, at least how it's being run, the hierarchs of the Catholic Church, obviously not the church itself, which is the bride of Christ. But many of the leaders of the Catholic Church are basically doing the same thing that their secular counterparts are in big gay, which is promoting and normalizing homosexuality. And of course, we all know who the chaplain of big gay is, Father James Martin, who just incessantly talks about homosexuality, about being gay and about how great it is and there's nothing wrong with it and all that. And he usually always tries to skirt the issues of like explicitly stating anything heretical. But last week, I had an article about the editor's desk yesterday at Crisis about this. But he had a tweet where he retweeted Catholic League, which said, it's true that Peter Buttigieg, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, Buttigieg, I don't know, is legal. I won't tell you what my wife purposely mispronounces it, is legally married. So, but that is a legal fiction. And Father James Martin just responded, Pete Buttigieg is married, period. That's all he said. Now, note, Catholic League was admitting that under our current law, legally, he is married, but he's not. But that's a legal fiction, meaning it does not. A legal fiction is something that it may be legal, but it really isn't legal in God's eyes, and it's not. It's like abortion is a legal fiction. But Father James Martin wants to disagree and say he is married. Now, as I note in the article, he's basically trying to say. He's trying to say, promote heresy without getting in too much trouble, because if he really was promoting heresy, he would say he's married in the eyes of God, or he's married just as much as a heterosexual couple is. But by saying just he's married, he's leaving out the fact that he could say, oh, I just mean legally. But we all know it's not a real marriage. And a Catholic priest, remember, that is what he is. A Catholic priest should be using the term married when he doesn't have any qualifier on it to mean true marriage, which is between a man and a woman. And no, not even sacramental marriage is true marriage. You, two Jews, for example, who get married, they're naturally married. That's a real marriage. It's not a sacramental marriage, but it's a real marriage in the eyes of God. And so when he just says married, he's equating to a gay man who's united to another gay man. He's equating a real marriage with a fake marriage. And he knows he's doing this. But of course, what does he do? He plays the victim now, and he's like, oh, I'm surprised by the outrage of this and all these people hating on me and sending me nasty things and saying nasty things on Twitter about me. You know, join the crowd, Father. Don't be a whiny victim. You say something that's heretical, people are going to call you a heretic. And yes, there are going to be people who cross the line and say things to you they shouldn't say. I've had that happen to me all the time. And you know something? Big deal. Who cares? That doesn't mean that they're wrong or I'm right just because they're acting like jerks. So stop playing the victim. But that's his game that he always does. And so in the Catholic Church, beyond just the chaplain of Big Gay, which is Father James Martin, it also is another point. This happens all over the church. Obviously, the sex abuse crisis that broke in 2002 that was made public, that was predominantly homosexual priests. That's what the John Jay study showed. I think it was 70 or 80% of all of them were of the abusers were homosexual. And most of the victims were post-pubescent teenage boys. Again, like I said, there is an attraction to that demographic. There was just recently, I mean, you could almost any week I do this podcast, I could give an example of the homosexual influence within the Catholic Church. And just for this week, there's now talk in England, a bishop had resigned about a month ago. And now all of a sudden there's stories about there being a homosexual sex party at his cathedral and all this going on, a scandal, and they're trying to uncover it. Unfortunately, most of us Catholics, we just hear that and be like, another week in the Catholic Church, in the modern Catholic Church, which is sad, but understandable why we do this. And of course, you can't talk about the influence of Big Gay in the Catholic Church without talking about the Vatican. It's obvious that the Vatican is overrun by Big Gay. Pope Benedict himself talked about this, the filth that had entered into the church. And we see this again and again. I mean, Theodore McCarrick was allowed to thrive for so long, even though he was obviously a homosexual and a pedophile. And so, you know, we have all these examples, and Pope Francis seems to be very willing to have high-ranking members of his the church be practicing homosexuals. And it's almost like he wants to have the blackmail them or something. But anyway, so we can see that Big Gay is part of the media, the government, big tech corporations, and the church. But another area, though, is the conservative movement. Conservative Inc. I'm sad to say that many of the main conservative figures in America today either are themselves practicing homosexuals or they don't have any problem with it. I mean, I saw that what's the example where Jordan Peterson interviewed Dave Rubin, who is a homosexual married, I'm putting that in scare quotes and fake quotes, to another man, and they adopted kids, and they had this nice little conversation. I think it was for Daily Wire talking about this. And I just think that's another example of how Big Gay has taken over. So even the conservative movement, if you really want to get big in Conservative Inc., I think you have a hard time if you really speak out against this. Now, at Crisis, we've spoken out against this numerous times. Austin Roos has had a number of articles. He's done a great heroic job of always trying to expose the influence of Big Gay, including in the conservative movement itself. So we see it's everywhere. It's a prominent part of our culture. And I also think it's funny, just an aside here, how often people will accuse us of being obsessed with homosexuality because we'll have a podcast like this, or Austin will write an article at Christ, something like that. When it's like somebody saying, okay, somebody walks up to me, starts punching me in the face. And I say, could you stop punching me in the face? And he says, why are you so obsessed with me punching you in the face? Why are you obsessed with being punched in the face? It's like, well, that's what's going on right now. And that is what's going on now. We're having homosexuality shoved down our throats, being told that we have to accept it. We have to act like it's no different than heterosexuality, even though that contradicts our Catholic faith and natural law. And so if we speak out against it, we're going to be said, oh, you're just obsessed with that. The other attack, the response Father Martin actually gave last week, where basically what you do is anybody who argues against homosexuality, oh, they must be a closet homosexual. They must be a closet homosexual if they're not going to, if they're speaking against homosexuality, which of course is just a way, a psychological way to gaslight, to basically try to shut up any opposition. And so I am sure that somebody out there will say I'm a closet homosexual or something to that effect. My wife and seven kids that I've produced with her would disagree with that. But nonetheless, the only purpose of that is to shut us up. That's why we have to keep speaking out. So the question becomes, I titled this podcast Opposing Big Gay. So I've been talking about Big Gay, but how do we oppose it? How do we resist it? As Catholics in a culture that's dominated by this sin, dominated by this disorder, how do we resist it? And how do we make it so that people understand the truth about human sexuality, the truth about the dangers of homosexuality, and really the truth about God's plan for men and women in marriage? Because it really is a challenge. It's something the devil has done a lot to make difficult. And like we've seen, he's infiltrated the Catholic Church as much as anywhere. But souls are at stake. So we do have to resist this. I know it's difficult. I know at times it will cause us hardship, but I'm sorry, but it causes more hardship to the souls it damns. And so we really have to step up and speak out. So what are some things we can do? I think I have 4 points here that I want to bring up. The first is we do have to expose what's going on. And I think, for example, Town Hall doing this investigative report of homosexual couple that were abusing their sons, I think is a great, awful story, but it's great that they exposed it, because we do have to expose it. And this is always the case that we want the lies to be exposed. And this is one of the first things we have to do. We have to talk about the reality, for example, of the fact that many gay men are predisposed to young men, to be attracted to young men. Also, the fact is that homosexuals are often depressed. They live in a very depressing life. Now, people accuse that, the proponents of homosexuality will say, oh, that's just because of a discrimination or things like that. But that's ridiculous, because right now we live in a culture that is so pro-homosexual that young people are actually claiming to be homosexual just because it's the hip thing to do. You can't tell me then that the reason that they're depressed is because of societal ostracization. I mean, the exact opposite is happening now. The fact is that when you give into your disorders, it's going to lead you to a lot of problems. If I'm an alcoholic, that's a disorder I have. And if it's not, by the way, for me, but if I were an alcoholic and I had that disorder, giving into that and drinking a lot would not help me, would lead me to worse problems and to depression. And so those who act out on their homosexual desires or homosexual tendencies will tend to have a very disordered life and a very depressed life. And so we have to make sure people know that it's not the presentation you get in the media of if you're a gay man, you're happy, and that's just the way it is. No, you're likely depressed. You're likely engaged in very dangerous physical behaviors and obviously dangerous spiritual behaviors as well. The other thing we have to do when it comes to exposing big gay and the gay lifestyle, and I don't know how else to put this, but gay sex is repulsive. And it should be repulsive to the normal person to even think about gay sex is repulsive. And it needs to be clear that that's the case, because what they do is, it's just like with abortion. They never want us to expose the truth about abortion, the aborted baby. They don't want to show pictures of the aborted babies, because they know that people see how awful it is. They're going to be much more likely to not want to normalize it, make it illegal. Likewise, they want to hide the reality, the repulsive reality of homosexual sexual relations. And so they will hide that as much as possible to regular people to normalize it. So your average Midwest suburban living family is just going to be like, oh yeah, gay people are just like us. There's no different. But there is a huge difference. And I think we have to admit that. Now, that doesn't mean we talk about it all the time. And it doesn't mean in every avenue. Obviously, I put the disclaimer at the beginning of this podcast. And when we talk about some stuff, it's not appropriate for young people. You're not supposed to talk to young people about this. Obviously, that's what the groomers do. The gay groomers do. So we don't do that. But we do have to, at times, be forthright about it. There's another case where Joseph Scambra, you know, if you don't know who he is, he's a former homosexual, and he now lives a chaste life. He was Catholic for a long time. Unfortunately, recently he became Orthodox. But the fact is, he's done a great job of being very forthright about what the lifestyle is, why it is so awful, why it's so dangerous, and why physically dangerous, and as well as spiritually dangerous. So we have to expose the gay lifestyle, make sure it's clear to people they know how awful and how repulsive living that lifestyle is. So that's the first thing. We expose it. The second thing is we confront it. We confront it. We speak out. We don't let it become acceptable. There's a decent chance this podcast, which is streaming live on YouTube, will get pulled down and the Crisis Channel might get a strike against it. I hope that doesn't happen. But the fact is, we have to challenge this. We have to make sure we're very clear that homosexual activity is sinful. Homosexual activity is also very physically dangerous, especially for men. We have to be clear about that. We have to confront them, and we have to let our bishops know, not to allow the homo heresy to just be completely free in the church. I mean, I saw some people were calling on Cardinal Dolan, who is the Archbishop Cardinal of New York, to do something about Father James Martin, who lives in the Diocese of New York, Archdiocese of New York. He's a Jesuit, but he lives in that diocese. So Cardinal Dolan does have an authority to tell Father Martin, you can't be doing this. And so we have to encourage our bishops to do that. Now, I know many of them, unfortunately, are swayed by the homosexual agenda, by big gay, and they're afraid of it. If they're not an actual proponent of it, they're afraid of it, but we have to encourage them to confront it. And so we need to do that. And for example, we have to oppose things like gay adoption, the adopting of young people. I mean, we saw what happened here with these two poor young boys who are just traumatized and just such a tragedy of their life. Why? Because an adoption agency let two gay men, one of whom actually had in his past a sexual abuse charge against him, they allowed them to adopt these young boys. And that's just heartbreaking. But it shows how powerful the big gay propaganda is. That an adoption agency, I'm willing to bet, and I don't know this is a fact, but I'm willing to bet they were probably just afraid to deny them. They're afraid if they deny this gay couple, they'd be called homophobic. They might get investigated by the government. They might eventually get shut down. So they just went ahead and allowed this, even though, like I said, one of the two parents had a charge against them of sexual abuse previously before the adoption. So we have to confront it. So we expose it. We confront big gay. The next thing we do, number three, is we do everything we can to save those in the lifestyle. We have to remember this is a spiritual battle first and foremost, and we're not trying to destroy the enemy. We're trying to convert the enemy. That should always be our attitude. The only ones we want destroyed are the demons, but people in the thrall of the demonic, like a Father Martin, we want to save them. And we want to save those who are engaged in the lifestyle particularly. We need to rescue them. They're not our enemies. Big gay is our enemy, but the active homosexual is not our enemy. We're trying to save them. And so what I would say is we really have to do all we can. One, I would really encourage people to watch, if they have not yet, the documentary. It came out about 10 years ago or so, maybe more than that, Desire of the Everlasting Hills. It is a beautiful documentary that follows three people, two men and a woman, who lived the gay lifestyle and then left it. One of them I'm actually friends with now, Paul Darrow. And these people are just heroic. And of course, the Catholic apostolic courage, I highly recommend it as well, because it helps people in the homosexual lifestyle to leave it, to live a celibate Catholic life, and sometimes even to stop all again and become heterosexual. Yes, I do believe it's possible for somebody who has homosexual tendencies to change through God's grace and potentially through counseling, to have heterosexual tendencies instead. I don't think that's the case for every situation. It doesn't happen in every situation. There are men and women with homosexual tendencies who live a celibate life who continue to have homosexual tendencies the rest of their life. And that is the cross that our Lord has given them. And it's a cross they use. And these people are so beautiful, and they're saints, and they really do deserve our praise and our admiration. And we need to try to get more and more people to join them. And so we need to do everything we can to rescue this. So if you know somebody who is a practicing homosexual, pray and fast for them. Do all you can to help them to leave that lifestyle and show them a better way, that living as a Catholic, living as a celibate Catholic, is a far more joyful, far more beautiful way to live. So it's another thing we can do. That's the third thing we do to combat it, combat big gay. If we take everybody out of the lifestyle, the whole house of cards falls. The fourth thing and last thing is we need to promote the good of marriage and sexuality. And I think in this case, what we're basically doing is we're in the Catholic world, I think one of the things we have to do is we have to return to something that's been forgotten and or de-emphasized in the church since the 1960s. And that is that the end of marriage is procreation. The end of marriage is procreation. End not meaning the final part, but the end, what it's directed towards in the philosophical sense, the end. Marriage is directed towards the procreation of children. We have always, the Catholic Church has always taught this. And yes, there is a unitive aspect. There's a unitive end of marriage as well. But what we've done is we make procreation of children an afterthought, kind of like a secondary end. No, it's the primary end. And so we need to make sure we do this. And so one of the reasons that homosexuality was able to take off and be normalized and accepted in the world is the acceptance of contraception, artificial contraception, as normal. Because what artificial contraception does is it breaks the innate relationship between sexual relations and the procreation of children, and therefore the innate connection between marriage, which is the only place where sexual relations should occur, and the procreation of children. And so as Catholics, we need to be 100%, no exceptions on this, that we are not only opposed to homosexual activity, we are also opposed to contraceptive sexual activity, and obviously any sexual activity outside of the confines of marriage. And so this is something that we need to do to promote it, but we promote it in such a way that we make it very clear that God's plan for marriage and sexuality is the most joyful, the best plan there is. I mean, that's the thing is, if you are happily married, if you've been married for years, you have lots of kids, yes, there are struggles. Yes, there are good times and bad times. But ultimately, your life is full of joy. I mean, I can speak to that from my own experience, having 7 children, being married now for 20, how many years? It'll be 28 years this year. It's the best way to live. You don't have, you know, the funny thing is, not only psychologically, spiritually is the best way to live, but physically. You don't have to worry about things like, uh-oh, is my girlfriend pregnant? I might start thinking about abortion. Or, uh-oh, did my girlfriend sleep with somebody else? And now all of a sudden I could have an STD or something like that. Or what was her sexual past before we started dating and having relations? And the harm that happens when you're promiscuous. And the things that happen, a promiscuous lifestyle is a miserable lifestyle. And so as Catholics, to oppose big gay, we really need to talk about the beauty and joy of God's plan for marriage and human sexuality. Okay, so those are my four. We expose, we confront, we save those in the lifestyle, and we promote the good of God's plan for marriage and sexuality. I think if we do that, we have a chance against big gay. I know we're outnumbered. I know we're definitely, they got way more resources and money than we do. I mean, they have billions and billions of dollars, tons of resources. We got nothing. I mean, I can't even tweet on, post on Twitter something about this without being the tweet being deleted and me being suspended. So we will get canceled. I get that. But we have to do what we can. We're going to be called homophobic. We're going to be called closet gays or whatever the case may be. But we have to persevere because souls are at stake. That's the key here. We have it. We can look at big gay as this awful, evil movement, which it is. But we have to realize It's more like a demon sucking in souls for perdition. And so we have to do everything we can to resist it because we're trying to save souls. So let's pray and fast for those who struggle with homosexuality. Let's pray and fast for the leaders in big gay, such as the chaplain, Father James Martin, and others. Let's do all we can to save them and to, frankly, defeat big gay. It's not going to happen overnight, but we're definitely not going to win if we don't at least fight against it. Okay, I think I'm going to wrap it up there. I appreciate you tuning in. And like I said, fast and pray for the end of big gay and to save souls who are in the gay lifestyle. Okay, everybody, until next time, God love you.